Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
And now it's time for Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
Hanging out with you till 5 a.m. right here on 104.3 The Score. It is Gabe Ramirez. And of course, at 5 o'clock, we are sending it right over to Dustin Rhodes with the pregame show. And of course, we got Brad Biggs at 7. Coach Wanst at 8:25. Mike Florio at 9 o'clock. Then Bruce Levine jumping on with the fellas at 9:25, maybe to discuss the White Sox victory yesterday. Another victory against the Colorado Rockies, playing some good stuff there. But in the meantime, taking your phone calls. Of course, free agency on its way. The Bears making some moves, of course, at the beginning of this one. Moving on from guys like Kevin Byard, Tremaine Edmonds signing with the New York Football Giants. And they re-signed some of their own. Braxton Jones gets a one-year, $5 million deal, which can go up to 10. Case Keenum comes back, as does DeMarco Jackson. And then they picked up some new names. Kobe Bryant, safety from the Super Bowl-winning Seattle Seahawks. Devin Bush agreed to a three-year, $30 million deal, 21 of it being guaranteed. Neville Gallimore, a DT from the Indianapolis Colts, signed a two-year, $12 million deal. So, you know, and then obviously if you add in the trading of Garrett Bradbury from New England, the Bears have made some moves to try to plug some holes, but of course, some still remain. But one that they filled, most people think that it's an upgrade at the safety position, bringing in Kobe Bryant. 3 years, $40 million deal. 25.75 is actually guaranteed. You're getting younger, you're getting faster, and it'll be interesting to see what they do on the other side. Well, you know, Raheem Harris and Grody, they actually had the pleasure of talking to Jim Mueller, who is the sideline reporter for the Seattle Seahawks, and they wanted to get a little bit more information on the newest signing to the Chicago Bears. So here's some insights so you can get some details. Jim Mueller on with Raheem Harris and Grody right here on 104.3 The Score.
Jen Mueller, she is at Jen Talk Sports on X. She is the Seattle Seahawks Radio Network sideline reporter, the founder of Talk Sporty to me, and somebody who inspired me for many years. Jen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. That's a great way to start this conversation, as if I wasn't already excited to talk a little football.
Well, it's true. Got to give the flowers where they're due. Jen doing things when not a lot of women sportscasters were out there doing things. So thank you for that.
You are welcome. Thank you.
In the meantime, the vaunted Seattle defense is a little less strong today with the signing of Kobe Bryant over to the Bears. You know, what do you make of just him moving and what he meant to a championship season for the Seahawks?
Yeah, I mean, he's part of the best defense in the league and one of the best defenses that we have seen in a while. So he was a key piece, and he started 15 games. That is the most time that we have seen him on the field during his career. He is tenacious. He is gutty. I always enjoyed conversations. I find him to be very thoughtful. He is very intense. He has always had something to prove, and I think that he will continue doing that in Chicago. It's unfortunate you can't keep the entire defense together, but I know that John Schneider and Mike McDonald, they kind of expected that that was going to be the price to pay for success.
Jen, I think you summed it up nicely when you talked about the best defense in a while, because that's how dominant this one was on the way to a Super Bowl. My question is this, with him specifically, Kobe White, what impact do you think he'll have?
Bryant.
Oh, Bryant. My bad.
Did I really just do that?
You did. I've done it 10 times already. So.
Yes. I'm sorry. We used to have a basketball player. His name was Kobe White. He just got traded. It's fresh on my mind because
it's quite all right.
I love basketball. So anyway, Kobe Bryant, another basketball player, but that's not who I'm talking about right now.
Right?
His impact off of that team and now on the Bears, What do you think his immediate impact will be on the Bears?
Well, again, it's just kind of the way that he is able to fly around. And he really did grow his game. The coolest thing about Kobe is just the story that the 4 years in Seattle tells. I mean, he started as kind of a slot guy. He was so versatile in college that it almost was a challenge in the first couple of years in his career. And what you have seen in the last 2 years, specifically with Mike McDonald, is how he has handled that safety role, because that is not where he started when he came in as a rookie. And when you take a look at pass completions, I think this year they were completing about 59% of the passes against him. He, you know, has the ability to get those pass deflections, to have the interception. You had the highlight there. I'd have to study that Bears defense a little bit to know, but here's the thing. And I underestimated this early in my career, and I don't now. When you get somebody who has been there and done that, you have been through the playoffs, you have been through the battles with some of the best teams in the league, you know, in your division, you have won a Super Bowl, there is part of that that you just can't put a number on, and you can't put a price on, and it's really hard to explain what it's like when you have somebody in the locker room who knows what that feels like and knows that should look what that should look like. His leadership skills are going to be as important as anything that you see on the field on game day from him.
No, that's huge. I mean, Bears fans listening right now, you should love that, because the Bears just had two really good locker room guys in Kevin Byard and Jaquan Brisker, who, as we speak right now, are still available. And to Jen's point, yeah, like you look at his career, Kobe Bryant's career in 2022 as a rookie, 17 games as a DB. He was a cornerback in 2023, where he played in 11 games. The last 2 years are interesting because he was a strong safety, Jen, in 2024, and then he became the free safety in 25, and he has the four interceptions. He did have three interceptions last year as a strong safety. Yep. What's his best position like, and why the change?
Well, the change happened with Mike McDonald and just finding a single spot for him on the field. And I think what really helped him was having Julian Love. I mean, I think you guys are familiar with Julian. He's from the Chicago area. But he had a similar trajectory in his career where he played all over in the, you know, kind of the back end of a defense. And so when he got to Seattle, he really worked with Kobe and said, look, here's the mindset you have to have. Here's how you stay sharp. Here's how you make this work to your advantage. And that's where things, you know, kind of took a step in that next direction for him. I think also when you look at Kobe, you're playing alongside some pretty special guys. You move him to safety because now you've got Devin Witherspoon, who can play, you know, inside and can be that cover guy on the slot. And you've got Nick Amendori now, who's listed as a safety. Granted, he can play at all three levels, but I think some of that was just the pieces that you had on defense. I think you saw everybody take a step under Mike McDonald in year two, just because of how talent was deployed from all different spots on the field.
We're talking to the Seahawks Radio Network sideline reporter Jen Mueller here on Raheemy Harrison Grody on 104.3 The Score. And just to digress a little bit, because he is an Illini guy, Devin Witherspoon, he proved to be such a special pickup and really was deployed excellently in that Seattle playoff run.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love how talented he is. I think I love how he talks more than anything. I mean, he never stops talking. He is supremely confident in his skills. I am sure he gets under the skin of a lot of guys. But you're right. When he hits like he does, and he's just got these natural instincts. And in some ways, Spoon reminds me of Earl Thomas from the Legion of Boom days. But here's the difference. Earl Thomas would sniff out a play and he would just leave his zone wide open. Like, and nope, people would be like, what are you doing, man? And I remember a point in time where the coaches told Earl, you cannot do that because you haven't communicated to everybody else. Spoon is instinctive, but he plays within that system really, really well. And I do love the fact that they decided to send him on those blitzes early against the Patriots. He's got the ability. They just weren't doing it very much. And because there's versatility, you know, you knew it was going to be unlikely that you beat Kobe and keep all of those guys. You're also going to have to pay Spoon in a couple of years. And I'm sure that all of that weighs into the decision to allow Kobe to get a chance to go and win with the Bears.
Well, and also just to follow up, we were looking at some of the stats on Kobe Bryant, Jen, and it is comparable. You know, Kevin Byard, of course, had seven interceptions that led the NFL in the regular season, but Brian had four to his name, and that just goes to show he's got a nose for the ball.
Well, yeah, and remember, you've got so many guys that made plays on defense. I think you're going to see another level of Kobe Bryant because everybody was kind of splitting those plays and those highlights, as is evidenced by the Super Bowl, right? This is not a knock on Ken Walker, the Super Bowl MVP who just went to the Chiefs. He was amazing down the stretch. But really, it's that defense and the fact that they were so unselfish. They didn't care who was making the plays. Kobe easily could have had more interceptions. And I think you are going to see those numbers go up because he will be given a chance to be in a larger role and to shine.
Jim Mueller joining us here on Raheemy Harris and Grody. She is the Seahawks Radio Network sideline reporter. She's also founder of Talk Sporty to Me. I understand she is also a cooking host. She does it all, and she's cooking with us right here on Raheemy Harris and Grody. I got to ask you, as the team kind of takes its next step, the Seahawks, I'm saying, you're losing guys because that's what happens every year, but especially when you're successful. What do you think the Seahawks will look like? What do you think the biggest difference will be a year from now without guys like Kobe, not White, but Bryant on the team?
That one is going to be interesting because you do have versatile pieces. You know, I would expect just right now, straight across the board, without making any other moves, right? You're going to slide a guy like Ty Okada in to play that role. That's what happened earlier in the year when there were some injuries. He's a guy out of Montana State. He proved to be more than capable of holding down that job, and they just re-signed him. So they have somebody in the building who can play that role. Of course, you want to add on, and you still want to have pieces. But what's interesting is how Mike McDonald talked about a guy like Nick Imanwari. Again, listed as a safety, played at all three levels of the defense. And he said, look, if we determine that the best spot is playing corner, he could play corner for us. Like, it would take drafting a couple of other guys and having, you know, just kind of some moving pieces. But we could do that. I would feel comfortable with his capability and skill set. I do think you have guys that allow you to kind of pick and choose best available for the overall skill set, not just the position. And I know from talking to John Schneider in the past, they have run into trouble. He personally has said this. When he reflects on kind of the things that he has done, you try to pigeonhole like the one for one, right? We lost the safety. We got to go out and get the exact same guy. No, you don't. You need to go out and find best talent for the defense so that you can keep doing the unique things that you're going to be doing. So I don't know that it ends up looking that much different. I think when the pieces across the front start moving and those edge rushers, I think that's where you start to have a different look and feel to the defense in general.
John, one more question from me back to Kobe Bryant, the Bears' brand new safety, 3 years and $40 million, can play strong safety and free safety. It also looks like he's a very willing tackler. And I know people are like, well, duh, he's a safety. But we've seen that, you know, Eddie Jackson was here. He was great, but he was not a willing tackler. I see a 70-tackle season, a 73-tackle season, a 66-tackle season. Is that indicative of the way he plays?
Yes. Absolutely. He will put his nose in there along with his shoulders, his, you know, arms and all of those things. You are going to get somebody who scraps, who fights. He is not going to give up easy yards. He's going to be a sure tackler. And that goes back to his days at Cincinnati, right? That's not a surprise. That didn't change in the NFL. That has always been one of his strong suits and something you can consistently count on from Kobe.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Jen Mueller right there. She is the sideline reporter for the Seattle Seahawks. On with Raheemy Harris and Grody. Raheemy and Grody yesterday was, yeah. And, you know, just really just giving the lowdown on who Kobe Bryant is and what he's going to bring to this team. Obviously playing the same position as Kevin Byard. It's Gabe Ramirez, by the way, 104.3 The Score. Phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. Thoughts on the signing, specifically this one, right? Because Kobe Bryant is one of those signings where everybody looks at it and immediately wants to tell you how smart the Bears are. They've upgraded. They got younger. They got faster. But maybe it is. But we got to slow down, right? I mean, because when we're looking at that position or that name, it's not like Kobe Bryant was the star of that defense. He's not. They didn't sign a star. They signed a guy who really they need to become a bigger deal because they still have holes in the secondary. And they still don't have necessarily, you know, proven difference makers on the other side. Who are you going to pair with Kobe Bryant? And that's the part that gets lost, right? Where every kind of decent signing comes off as a masterpiece because you're plugging a hole on the team. And Bears fans are salivating for that and wanting to let Ryan Poles cook. And, of course, you know, look, Kobe Bryant had ball production. We know that. That matters. If you can take the ball away, you got value. We saw that with Kevin Byard. But there's a difference between, you know, being a nice addition and solving your problem. But the move makes sense, right? It's not. I'm not killing the move. I'm killing the reaction to the move. Where if Kobe Bryant is one of the answers, fine. But if Kobe Bryant is one of your biggest answers, then that is going to be the issue for the Chicago Bears because there are bigger questions, right? We're looking at the obvious: defensive end, left tackle. Despite the re-signing of Braxton Jones, if you didn't hear, 1 year, $5 million, incentivized all the way up to $10 million. But that's where I'm at on it. You know, is he a useful player? Sure. Good signing, more than likely. But they didn't just, you know. I wonder where Jaquan Brisker is going to land and what his contract's going to be, right? And because that's what we're going to be looking at next year, productivity.
But honestly, Seattle could be a team that signs him.
I mean, that would be crazy.
Yeah.
If they sign him to a cheaper deal and he has more productivity for them. I mean, listen, if Jaquan Brisker stays healthy, you're going to get yourself a potential Pro Bowler.
Yeah, he's a dog.
Right.
He's a really good player.
No doubt about it. He's a difference maker. And we saw it in the playoffs against the Rams, you know, what kind of game he was having. And let's not forget, you know, he wasn't playing with Kyler Gordon the majority of the season. And that's what, you know, people make people better. And, you know, not that C.D. Gardner-Johnson wasn't someone that played well. Kyler Gordon, yeah, I guess, you know, that'd be the argument that Gardner Johnson was there.
Yeah. I mean, he was there, but he wasn't the same type of nickel corner that Kyler is.
No,
like, obviously,
not.
Gardner, just that, you know, that edge guy a little bit sometimes from the nickel slot. But I think, like, the two things here with this is, like, Bryant seems like he's a really athletic, toolsy guy. Seems like he covers a lot of ground, and that's interesting. But it also seems like he's a really good tackler. So it feels like he could play both either the Kevin Byard or the Jaquan Brisker role of Dennis Allen's defense. But the other thing, too, is, like, I mean, this safety draft class is supposedly really deep. Like, outside of, I think, edge rushers, I think safety is probably the deepest position in this draft.
Which is great, and we hear that often.
Right. Does that mean anything? No, but I'm sure there's players the Bears are probably looking at and saying, okay, well, we could probably get this guy here.
Yeah.
So are we okay with letting Byard walk? Are we putting a veteran here?
That's what we saw, really, too, yeah. Sean, with Ozzie Trapillo last year, right? Where they were saying there's a deep offensive line class. And you ended up getting a guy that was your starting left tackle at the tail end of the season. I mean, that's...
Who didn't look like the starter initially either,
who
right?
Who was a healthy scratch.
We knew who
the
Canadian Eagle was.
Oh, my God.
Theo Benedetto.
Depth. I keep trying to remind people about Karan Amagaji. I did it on our
Matt
TV
Nagy's
show today.
Yeah, Matt Nagy's dead and him are golf buddies or
dude,
whatever.
That's the wildest story. That's like Dale and Terry getting drafted because Michael Reinsdorf's daughter is
Chandler
went
Hutchinson
to Arizona,
or whatever that deal was years ago
with
the Bulls.
It's tough. It's tough to look at those kinds. But, you know, we were talking on the TV show last night on the Chicago Lead, and we were saying, you know, talking about left tackles. He's like, oh, Braxton Jones, stopgap until Ozzie Trapillo comes back. And I'm like, are we going to mention Karan Amagaji, or are we just going to pretend that the Bears don't have a third round pick that was supposed to be an offensive tackle for them? No? Okay, cool. I'm just going to work on it. And I said it on my last overnight show. I did the Bears drafts by years.
Sure. Yeah, I remember hearing some of this. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And obviously going over, you know, the third round picks that the Bears that Ryan Poles, you know, had. And then, you know, you got Karan Amagaji, no third round picks last year.
Right.
Shamar Turner, second round pick, who
got hurt, but we'll see.
I know, right? Yeah, like, what? I mean, come on.
Hard to even evaluate him. Like, two games, I think. He got hurt in that Dallas game, yeah. I think, right?
Like, I can't do that. I can't put hope on a guy that didn't play. Like, I get it. Second round pick, you got to be good, but I need you to be playing more. But anyways, third round picks. no third round picks last year. The year before that, Karan Amagaji. The year before that, Zach Pickens. The year before that, Velus Jones Jr. That's a rough go at third round picks. So maybe, I mean, you know, we're complaining that the Bears didn't get third round picks as compensation for Ian Cunningham. But did you just hear me say those last? I mean, last year you didn't have a third round pick. You had 3 second rounders. But your third rounder essentially was with the 62nd pick, basically the first pick in the third round, Shamar Turner. So, I mean, he got hurt. I get it. But Ruben Hippolyte, no better after that. I don't know, man. Karan Amagaji, Zach Pickens, and Velus Jones Jr., that was your three? 25th pick in the draft is going to be interesting when you see which way the Bears go with that direction. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here. 104.3 The Score, going all the way up to 5 o'clock. That's when I'm going to hand it off to Dustin Rhodes, who will then in turn hand it off to Mullion Hall. They got a pretty great show lined up for you today. Brad Biggs jumping on at 7. Coach wants that. Wani at 8:25, Mike Florio at 9, Bruce Levine, 9:25. Make sure you're here with us all Tuesday long. Going to be tackling free agency. But right now, we're taking phone calls. Really just getting your response to what the Bears have done so far. The draft is still on the table. But let's go out to DeMar in Waukegan. DeMar, the Bears have made a lot of moves in free agency. But obviously, the draft... Brian Poles has said he's going to take the best player available. Do you think that's still going to be true, or do you think they're going to kind of zero in on a particular position?
I mean, I think it's highway robbery that we don't get a compensatory pick.
Robbery.
Because we definitely could use more ammo to go ahead and move up in this draft.
That's a great point.
Now, if we got a shot to maybe get in with the Jets, get in 16, you know, we need to take it. If y'all think there's an edge rusher really out there that's going to come in and put the rest of them guys on contract on notice, then let's talk about them. Because the Bears got an opportunity to go ahead and move up in the draft, and that's what they need to do.
Tell me about that, because I'm not sure I'm familiar with this. Moving up with the Jets to 15, is that what you just said?
Yeah, the Jets got two first-round picks.
Okay, they got the 16th pick, okay.
Right, they got the 16th pick. You know what I'm saying? So you might be able to swap right there.
Okay.
If you feel like you can get somebody, you know what I'm saying, that's really going to make a difference quick. All that money invested on the defensive line, some of that's going to probably get cut, you know what I'm saying, within next year. So
I like this. I like where you're going. I like where you're going with this, because the Bears do have an extra second-round pick, right, from what they got from DJ Moore. And maybe, you know, you move up. You know, with a second, if you feel like somebody's there that's going to be, you know, a difference maker for you. I like where your head is at. Finding potential trade Absolutely. Candidates, DeMar, for who the Bears could potentially get. So, you think defensive end. Like, don't go further than that. Not best available. Just go defensive end.
I mean, defensive end or nose tackle. You know what I'm saying? If Dennis Allen is a guy that likes a bigger edge, you know what I'm saying? If you got a guy that, you know what I'm saying, going to really put pressure down the throat, mm-hmm. then go ahead and go get them. So edge or nose, where I'm going.
Okay, first of all, I appreciate your knowledge on this Bears team, which is great. And I hear how you're talking on the defensive side, so I'm curious. The curiosity just came up. You know, the Bears moved on from DJ Moore, right? Left tackle situation, what it is. Drew Dahlman retiring. DeAndre Swift, you don't know if he's going to be a cap casualty. They might keep him still. What's your thoughts on the Bears offense? Do you think they're going to be, like, I know you think they're going to be better because you're a Bears fan, but how much better do you think they're going to be next year offensively?
Oh, they're going to be better because that second round pick or third, you know what I'm saying, you go ahead and go all on. Absolutely. Mm. Because you look how you're taking hits already and you don't have anybody to come in and step up that you're super confident in.
I'm talking specifically about Caleb Williams and the offense. Like, not necessarily the protection, because I think the Bears are solid there, and I think they'll continue to make upgrades there. But I'm just talking about offensively, right? Where the Bears, you know, they hit a high mark, top five in the league in offense. But I'm trying to think, that was just year one in Ben Johnson's offense, right? So I'm trying to wrap my brain around how good they can be in year two. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, Caleb DeSign. Caleb and Rome, Tom DeSign. Mm. I mean, God given, Rome is 100% ready to fucking go because of go time.
So close, DeMar. So close. He cursed everybody. I will say this. I always look at it like a compliment when people curse on the radio.
Yeah, they're comfortable enough.
Because they're comfortable enough that they, you know, DeMar felt like he was talking with the homie, which is what this is. This is friends talking about sports, you know. And again, that's why we're on the air now, right? So that those of you that are night owls, up late, listening to us, that, you know, we give you this platform to discuss it. And sometimes when you're talking with your friends, you let curse words out. I have to stop myself from cursing on this show, particularly because, you know, it's a little different than when I'm with David. But this one in particular, like, I got to stop myself from cursing. I get it. But tomorrow, I let out a little bombski. It's okay. It's no problem.
Yeah, we want you to be, we want you to be chill and comfortable here. We just got to make it comply with the FCC, too.
Yeah, I like my job. I need this bread. You know what I'm saying? I got three kids, as I mentioned.
We got a license to protect and things and stuff. Yeah.
You know what we're going to do, Ted? I see you on the line. I see all you other guys on hold. We're gonna go on a break. Build back up this queue. And then DeMar can come back on if you want. I don't mind DeMar. DeMar was harmless. He just was getting hyped about this Roma Dunze and Caleb Williams connection that he was anticipating. So 312-644-6767. That is the phone number. Of course, free agency kicked off, and you have your thoughts on what the best signing is, what kind of impact these guys are going to make, and now what the draft looks like. And I'm curious your thoughts on all of those things. And again, if you want to talk anything else, we're here for that as well. All right, 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you live and local on Chicago Sports Radio, 104.3 The Score.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
If they think that's what's best to help incentivize, then that's what they wanted to do. But at the end of the day, like I said, that's not the purpose of why we develop our staff. But if that's the rule they have in place, then I think it's very clear in the situation what should happen. But we'll see what they think.
Gabe Ramirez on 104.3 The Score.
Ryan Poles talking about the compensatory picks and what would happen. The NFL released its 2026 compensatory draft picks. The Bears, unfortunately, not awarded a selection for Ian Cunningham's departure, which was a joke. Chicago and Atlanta. With that, that's the craziest part. It's like they're both sitting there being like, no, listen, this is what happened. And the NFL's like, no, you guys are wrong. I'm like, wait, we're the one that hired Ian Cunningham. They both pushed the case that the Bears should receive the diversity development compensation for losing Cunningham. You know, it's just... It's as a POC, person of color, as a Boricua, as a Puerto Rican male, it's sad that, you know, you're upset, right? As a Bears fan, like, damn, you didn't get the third round picks. But be very clear, there's also a component where you are frustrated because you feel like, you know, it's a little icky. In that sense, too. Because you're like, dude, what are you... And the majority of us are just like, eh. I get it. I know what happens here. Part of it. So it's a part. It's two sides. Two things can be true at the same time. And in my mind, it happens. But, you know, what frustrates me more is that, you know, these were opportunities for the Bears to be better. Third round picks, despite... Oh, my God. You guys heard me... mention the names. Karan Amagaji 2 years ago, third round pick. Zach Pickens 3 years ago. And then 4 years ago was Velus Jones Jr. So it's not like Ryan Poles has the best track record with third round picks. And then he was going to do something amazing with him. But as DeMar pointed out earlier, trade pieces. You want to move up in the draft? You want to get into the second round? You could trade a third round pick, a future third round pick. You want to go, you know, get a defensive lineman that's disgruntled and it's only going to cost you a third round pick? Now you got it. And so I think there's other ways that, you know, it hurts the Chicago Bears. But the NFL awarded 33 compensatory picks to 15 teams for the 2026 draft. 33 picks to 15 teams. And each one of them had a better situation than Ian Cunningham? Let's go out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you. Let's go out to Ted in the South Burbs. Ted, we might not be talking about the picks, but I'm sure you're talking about my Bears, and you're equally upset about it, though, right?
Well, I appreciate you for doing this on a Tuesday morning.
Thank you.
Changing your shift for everybody.
You know, free agency. I want you guys to be able to talk about it.
Wait, I don't know if anybody's brought this up, because I remember I heard Lawrence talk about it when they hired Kevin Warren. Mm-hmm. That he's using the Bears as a stepping stone to become commissioner, right?
Hmm.
So when Kevin Warren becomes commissioner, what kind of comp picks are we going to get for that?
Oh, I love that.
That's my question. I've never heard anybody ask that yet. I mean, well, he should be compensated for that.
Well, I love the thought, but I think the compensatory picks are only when you go to another team to take on another role. So if you were to be going to be to just run all the teams, it'd be different. I don't know. Do you think Chicago Bears fans would back that decision for the league to take Kevin Warren as the president or as the
I wouldn't support it, but yeah.
I'm just saying,
handle the stadium situation. But I'm just saying. I mean, it's sad that we're not getting the comp picks that we should deserve.
Of course, it is. I mean, Ted, these are picks that could be used, regardless, like I said, of Ryan Poles' draft history in the third round. If anything, it tells you he's more likely to hit, right? Because, damn, you can't get the third round pick wrong that many years in a row. You got to get it right eventually. So you would assume that would be the case. But, you know, the Bears, especially where they're at right now, they're going to have to pay Caleb. They're going to have to pay Rome. And so you need to be able to fill out your roster with young talent that can eat up positions that you normally would have to pay for, whether it's offensive line, defensive line, you know, pivotal positions. And so those third round picks, that's where they're more valuable. It's not just starters that you're bringing in, but it also offsets the money that you're going to have to pay Caleb Williams. You know what I'm saying, Ted?
Well, yeah, well, that's my point. I mean, I'm just saying that we're going to promote our guy to run the NFL. We should be compensated for something.
Yeah.
That's all about. I'll listen to your I just wanted to get that in. I've never heard anybody mention that yet. I just wanted to bring that out in the open to see what you thought about that. I'll hang up and listen.
No, no problems. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it, Ted. Like I mentioned, I don't know if you'd get compensatory picks because you wouldn't be going to another team. I think that's the part there. But I like the idea where, like, if he becomes the commissioner, you get this like superseded compensatory pick. Like you get a first pick. You get the first pick in the draft. If your GM or president becomes the commissioner, lucky you, first pick in the draft. Doesn't matter what your record is. You guys are just, we're so grateful that we're going to give you a first pick in the draft. Now that's the kind of conversations that should be happening. Let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Got Dave out in Plainfield. Dave, talk to me about this first day of free agency. What is consuming you the most?
Well, it's basically, man, a good manager is a manager that when he makes a mistake, he doesn't ride it to the ground. He gets rid of it, unlike Ryan Pace. And we made a huge mistake with Dio. And I feel like we need to cut our bait and go out and get us a defensive end. The one I love got signed by the Commanders, Owe.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to fall in love with the idea that Dio's coming back and he's going to impress us and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. It's all based on hope and potential.
It is. Well, and when you want to move on from Dio, so you just want to like take his money, eat it. You just want to get rid of him because you feel like it's not worth it.
It is what it is. It is what it is. Second of all, this Kobe guy, does that mean my kids are telling me he's getting $12 million a year? $12 million a year. That means we're not re-signing anyone in terms of Byard or Prisker.
No.
I feel like our contract with Prisker with Byard went bad because maybe he's asking too much, so we went with this Kobe guy. Do you know how much he's making a year?
Yeah, it's about almost $13 million, $12, $13 million, right in that range.
Come on.
But the reason why you're right on that Dave, is because you got to think about how much they were paying their safeties prior to, right? Kevin Byard was making about $7.5 million. Jaquan Brisker was making $1.8 million. So, you know, the both of them weren't even making $10 million. So it's just going to go to show that they're probably going to draft a safety to offset those dollars in those with those two positions.
That tells me that they couldn't come to an agreement with Byard. I know they didn't want Pritzker, but they didn't come to an agreement with Byard. That's what that tells me.
And he's also older, right, Dave? I mean, he's older. And I don't think anyone thinks he's going to duplicate the success he had last year. Right, I think we can all agree that was an outlier of a season when you're talking about the amount of interceptions he had. And is he a veteran presence and leader in the locker room? Sure. But you know what? Sometimes you have to remove people in order to give others the opportunity to lead. You saw it with the Blackhawks at the trade deadline, right? They move on from Connor Murphy. They move on from Nick Foligno, guys that are veteran locker room guys. But you move on from them because then you got to give, you know, Frankie Nazar and Connor Bedard opportunities to step up. You're seeing it with the Bears. You move on from DJ Moore on the offense so that way it's just Caleb and the young guys, and he can be the leader that he needs to be. And so I think the same thing with Kevin Byard, where, you know, you want him there. He was a great guy, great for your locker room, but he moves on, and so that way you can allow other people to take on that role.
You agree that he's gone?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
I mean, because they're not gonna spend $20 million in there just for their safeties. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just smart to know that you're gonna, and then you're not sure which is Kobe Bryant gonna play, the free safety or strong safety position. But I think the draft might, you know, kind of move there, because then it's Allen. Yeah, and then whoever, based on who you draft, you might have to have that person be pigeonholed into one of those two spots. But
I mean, everybody in Seattle swears by him. They say this guy is this and this guy is that. So I'm hoping so.
Yeah.
But that means we did lose both of our safeties. And
the interesting thing, Dave, is going to be how much money Jaquan Brisker gets in free agency. Right. If Kobe Bryant's getting 3 years, $40 million, Jaquan's probably looking for more than that. So it'll be interesting to see how much he gets and where he lands, because people are going to be following Jaquan Brisker closely next year.
Who you think is better, real quick, Tremaine Edmonds or Devin Bush?
Two different types of linebackers. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily apples to apples.
They both got the speed and
But Tremaine Edmonds, remember, when Eberflus brought in Tremaine Edmonds, he wanted a taller middle linebacker that could drop back and affect the pass coverage. So there was a specific need for Tremaine Edmonds when he came over from the Buffalo Bills. Devin Bush is not that dude. That's not what Allen's trying to do. He wants a guy that's going to meet you at the line of scrimmage, fill that gap, tackles for losses, you know, hounding guys down. I think that's going to be the difference between Devin Bush and Tremaine Edmonds. So, again, different. I think
it's because Edmonds signed for $2 million above Bush. That's all.
Yeah.
Not much. That's why I'm saying that to you.
I mean, he's a proven commodity, right? Tremaine Edmonds having a great year last year before he got injured. And he's again, proven commodity, where Devin Bush, been with a couple teams, was a former number 10 pick in the draft from Michigan, and people are uncertain whether last year was a one and done. You know, that's why his numbers are the way they are in terms of salary, where only $21 million is guaranteed for him, just in case he doesn't pan out. But I think it's a sign at an equal level and hope that he outplays his contract. You know what I mean? But you
so
save.
Think,
but I'm sa- what I'm saying is, you're saving $8 million. You're saving $8 million by getting rid of Tremaine Edmonds and getting Devin Bush, and I'm willing to take that trade where I can use $8 million somewhere else.
So you're saying keep Dio and don't, like, I don't know, man. Our issue has been the last 12 months defensive end, a different sacks pressure, and we threw a softball on Dio. Now we need, I don't know, man. I can't stand him.
Yeah, I mean, look, Dio, he has $13 million in fully guaranteed dollars coming in. And if you cut him, you're only saving $2.5 million on the third league day of 2026. Another $2.5 million becomes fully guaranteed. So $15.5 million guaranteed for 2026. So it's like, you might as well just keep him there, right? If he comes back and performs well because he bounces back from the injury, then, you know, it's going to be great. It just sucks that he got hurt, right? You couldn't see his full potential because he got hurt.
Even before he got hurt, he did nothing.
Fair.
He was useless. But you're right. I mean, you're already paying him. You might as well keep him. But I would still go out and get another pass rusher.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody agrees that that it's there, right? Like that's the position of need. Everybody understands that. But it's just about how you're going to go about doing it. Is it paying, you know, Hendrickson $30-something million for 2 years? You know, $30-something million a year for 2 years, or is it going and like, you know, you were mentioning, or somebody was mentioning earlier, trading up with the Jets, or DeMar was saying that, yeah, trading up with the Jets at the number 16 if you find a defensive end that you really like. There's just, again, well, here, let me ask you a question, Dave, since you want to, you know, how have you liked the moves that Ryan Poles has made now that he's a seasoned GM and not just a rookie GM?
I actually liked Ryan Poles, you know, and he's made moves.
Well, that's my point.
From day one, he said the first couple of years, it's not going to be fun. Like he said it from day one. To the McCaskies.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. When it comes to who the Bears are going to get at the defensive end position, if you like what Ryan Poles has done so far in free agency, and you feel like he's one that cooks, then you should feel good that he'll be able to address the defensive end position accordingly. If you are on the other side of that, where you're like, man, he signed guys like Dio Odengbo, he's traded for Chase Claypool, he's made, you know, Vela Velas Jones Jr. stick on the team, and you're not necessarily sure, then I could see where you'd be weary. Me, I think he's done a great job so far. I also think that, you know, he had, like you mentioned, first couple years were going to be rough, not only because he was rebuilding the roster, because he was also learning on the job. And I think that, you know, now you're getting a Ryan Poles who has signed his own extension and sits and feels a much more comfortable in these rooms as a seasoned GM who's made countless amounts of trades, whether it be on draft day, outside of draft, on trade deadline. Like, he has been an active GM, that for sure. And so, you know, you can't hit, and that's another thing, right, Dave? Any GM is not going to go 10 for 10 on signings, right? They're not going to bat 1,000. So you have to give them some grace for some moves. And, you know, Dio, you tried to grab somebody that you thought was going to impact winning, and it's just been unfortunate that he didn't do it in the first year.
Last time I called you, I told you I wanted Sweat, the one that went to Arizona, mm-hmm. ended up with 12.5, yeah. 13 stacks, made the Pro Bowl. He was $2 million above what Dio made. He's the first thing. I mean, like, he's like a pass, but I don't care about Dennis Allen.
Oh, Dave, you're breaking up, bro. Sorry, man. It was bad, too. I was trying to save you. Shout out Dave. Dave's a night owl. He's definitely not. He calls in often. Good dude. Got good stuff. And he brings up a great point. Listen, you're not going to be happy with every single move that is made. Because if every, you know, if you hit on every move, I mean, Jesus, you'd be the greatest GM ever. It just doesn't happen like that. You have to take risks, and you got to color within the lines. Sometimes, you know, the dollars might not be there. He might not have had the extra $3 million to pay Sweat. He might not have had that money. He might, you know, you just, again, there's so many moving pieces at so many different times. I mean, look, think about Drew Dahlman retiring in the middle of free agency is about to begin. You feel like you have plan A, B, and C, and you end up having to do something completely different. So, you know, it's not an easy job being a GM. Building out a roster, again, it's not as though you can take, it's not like, you can. I was trying to liken it to college, where, you know, a professor just gives the same test or a variation of it every, you know, the final every single year, where you can just duplicate those things. It's not the same. Ryan Poles' job and objectives in year one are not the same that they are in year four. They're just not. Year one was assess the team, clear the cap, get your mind right, bring bodies in. This year, you've had some success, and now it's about filling in the holes properly so that way dollars can be allocated to true positions of need, the highest importance on your squad in the short term. And Bears fans know what that is. When you sign Braxton Jones to a one-year, $5 million deal with incentives to go up to 10, the assumption is, you're trying to have familiar bodies in the building to hold you down until Ozzie Cipolla comes back. And if you need to draft someone else, because there's nothing wrong with stockpiling offensive linemen, and if that one outplays Karan Amagaji, Theo Benedict, and Braxton Jones, then so be it. That'll just be what happens. If they spend a second-round pick on an offensive lineman and that guy comes in and outplays everybody else, then so be it. Because there will be shuffling. Joe Tooney's going to move on soon. Jonah Jackson's under 30, so that's good. But, you know, there's going to be movement. There always is. People get hurt. Guys move on. And you're going to need more bodies. But Braxton Jones at least gives you a serviceable person that has had reps at left tackle. Couldn't beat out anybody at the tail end of last year. But still a body nonetheless. And a cheap one for $5 million. Especially when you're trying to fill out that roster. Let's go back out to the phone lines. DeMar Waukegan, you still there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, you've been listening to a lot, so I know you got some thoughts.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's Jamal.
Oh, damn. Hell no.
It's all good. It's all good. No
it's problem. It sounds like you got a muffled phone, Jamal. That's why we couldn't tell.
Yeah, I was on my way home from work in the car. That's why that happened.
Okay. All right. So what's on your mind then?
So yeah. Like you were saying, they got all these rotational players, man. In a couple years, you know what I'm saying? You got a couple big contracts that's expiring, you know, then they still bring it in. They brought in Bryant for, what, 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense. It makes sense to go safety. You know what I'm saying? You can find a safety in the third round. You can also still resign. I would rather, like my guy Dave was saying, Dio, man, look, you had a chance. We not here to wait around. You know what I'm saying? I will cut my ties. I would rather pay Jaquan Brisker $10 million to come back. You know what I'm saying? Brisker and Bryant in the back, I'm good.
B&B? Airbnb is what they're going
to
call
it. Airbnb, baby. You feel me? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's the way I would go.
I hear what you're saying. The problem is you're still going to be on the hook for Dial's money. Right, it doesn't go away, or you don't get to reset it. It's fully guaranteed, so you're already on the hook for I think it's like $13 million. So you got to hope for the best in that situation. I understand the logic of trying to move the dollars. The other thing, you know, Jaquan, I feel this wholeheartedly in my heart. I think he wants more than Kobe Bryant. So where you paid Kobe Bryant, you know, $12-13 million, I think Jaquan wants $15-16 million. He really thinks he's that dude. And we know Quani B. We see him on Twitter. We know what kind of character he is and what kind of belief he has in himself. And I think somebody's going to pay him unless he's going to be humbled quickly and not get those dollars. But this is a guy who made 1.8 last year, Jamal. And you know how that is. When you've made 1.8 and you got Kevin Byard next to you making 7.5, that's a different life. When you're making 1.8 and Buddy's making 7.5, you're trying to get paid. You're trying to get those kinds of dollars. And if he goes and sees Nathan Vasher, you know, getting paid, like, he's going to want that money. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of money he ends up with.
And I understand that. I want my guy to get paid, too. And I'll give him $10 million guaranteed. If he wants 15, incentives. Go get that 15. You know what I'm saying? Because this defense needs to ball out again.
Yeah.
Well, you want to be that dude still? Because you my guy. You my guy, Jaquan. For sure.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'll drop the $10 million for you right now. You know what I'm saying? Throw some more incentives in there. Let's run.
Well, you know, we were talking earlier, Jamal, Sean Sears and I, how much money the Washington Commanders had in cap space. And they're a team that is looking at Jaquan closely. And the Bengals just signed, I think they signed the safety from the Chiefs. So they're out of that running. So Jaquan Brisker, you might be seeing him with the Commanders. They might be the one that end up giving him a bunch of money because they got, you know, they got a lot of money under their belt. So it'll be interesting to see. But Jamal, I appreciate the phone call, man. Whenever I'm on overnight, feel free to call in. All right, you're a true night owl.
Got
always, man. Have a good one. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here all the way till 3 o'clock. Of course, it's when we hand it off to Dustin Rhodes. And then, of course, after that, Mully and Hall come on. Back at it, full strength with a great lineup. Brad Biggs joins the fellas at 7 o'clock talking all things Bears. When he was on yesterday, he was on before all the signings. So it'll be interesting to hear his reactions of what went down in the last 24 hours. 8:25, Coach Wonstadt jumps on with the fellas. You're definitely going to want to hear what he thinks about the future of the Chicago Bears and, you know, the moves that Ryan Poles has made in the short term. Mike Florio joins the Bears at 9 o'clock. I'm sure he'll have some insight onto the remaining free agents and who the Bears could potentially have their eye on or where other free agents might be headed. And then at 9:25, we talk a little baseball. Cubs, Sox, World Baseball Classic. 9:25, that's going to be with our guy Bruce Levine. But you got me until then. I'm hanging out with you for a couple more hours. And we get to talk Bears. Some big free agent moves for your team. And, of course, you get the opportunity to play general manager yourself with the 25th pick in the draft. What did you think about the Bears' move so far in free agency? What's been your favorite move that Ryan Poles has made? And then when it comes to the 25th pick in the draft, who do you think the Bears are taking? What position? 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez, live and local on Chicago Sports Radio, 104.3 The Score.
Hey guys, this is Matt Norlander, co-host of the Eye on College Basketball podcast with Gary Parrish. We are part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, and college hoops is turning toward what's going to be a phenomenal March. So be sure you are tuned into the show. We're going to be publishing at least 4 shows every week. Follow and listen to Eye on College Basketball free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. March is coming.